Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to a new episode of AST Presents. This is your host, Arden here. Hope all is well with you. Thank you for listening once again. You guys know I've been busy lately creating all this new content for you guys, but it's been fun. And of course, I've been making moves, the moves that I've always wanted to make. Thank you to you guys for the kind words for not only regarding my birthday, but also for the fact that my debut piece for Slam Magazine that you guys checked out, it was about my favorite team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and their reemergence in the playoffs. You guys have supported that and shared it. Thank you so much. Of course, the new videos on YouTube, my music podcast that I host with Wills Forside, that's been excellent. I mean, the support that you guys have made for that has been incredible. I told you guys I was going to do new episodes of the Snatchback, my basketball podcast. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I actually have a new article with Slam Magazine coming out within the next 2 days. It's about my experience covering the WNBA. Because you guys know, I'm now covering the New York Liberty, so it's been a great time covering the Liberty at the Garden. I'm actually back there again on Friday. But to get into the episode, our guest for this morning, he's on the air. He is somebody that I've been following for quite some time now. We both have a mutual friend that is in the sports journalism world that's doing big-time things, and our guest, he's doing big-time things. He, like myself, is from Westchester County doing it big-time. And I just respect his work, and I respect the way he goes about his business, especially doing his thing as a sports anchor. You know, he was big-time down there in Tennessee. So if you're from Tennessee listening to this episode, just know this man was on your TV screens every night, giving you the business, making it entertaining, and he returned home back to New York within, the last few months, as he is one of the new sports anchors for Verizon Fios. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Justin Walters. How's everything, Justin?
Hey, man, what's up, man? You used big time so many times. Nah, I'm still small time, still small.
Nah, man, you're doing your thing out here, man. I always watch what you do, man, and I respect your work. How's everything, man?
Everything's great, man. Game one, NBA Finals tonight. What not to be excited about?
That's right. Absolutely, man. I can't blame you. Heck, I woke up pretty early this morning and got to the gym and got me a nice little workout in, because I felt as if I was playing in game one tonight, because that's how excited I was, man. I can't lie to you.
Man, you and me both, I am tired. I was up at 4 a.m. this morning getting a workout in.
Jeez, man. But, hey, we got to do what we got to do in order to get out here, man. And for one, folks, please follow Justin on Twitter. He has two accounts, but I know his main account. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Your main account is Justin Walters TV, right?
That is correct. Justin Walters TV is the main account. I ended up creating that account from scratch when I moved down to Tennessee, and I should have probably just kept my original account that I know that you also follow, and I won't even mention to confuse viewers with their handle, but with Twitter, I believe you can't even combine it unless you're like a super-duper celebrity, so I'm going to work on trying to combine those followers with both accounts.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And once again, if you want to follow Justin, his Twitter handle is actually in the title above. You know that's been something I've been doing, you guys. And also, I just want to congratulate you and Nick, because folks that's been listening to my shows, you guys know about Nick Cregan. He's been on my radio shows. He was on my TV show when I was doing it for White Plains TV. Nick and Justin debuted episode one of their new podcast, and it's a great name, by the way, Justin the Nick Podcast. That link is in the description below. Tell us about the podcast, man. What made you two decide to say, you know what, we want to join the podcast world. We feel like we have something to offer.
Man, Nick is my brother from another mother, man. And I moved back to New York. Everything worked out perfectly. The fact that we're both in the same city, and we've been wanting to team up to do a project together. The title, as you already mentioned, is just perfect. Justin the Nick, it's nothing cheesy. It's straightforward to the point. It has both of our names in it, which is You couldn't have asked for a better blessing. And the podcast is more along the lines of something that we weren't hearing on the airwaves, and it's going to also be a webcast that we wanted to talk about. Sports is the nucleus, but with our demographic, there's so many things that affect us. Travel, fashion, music, entertainment. We're just a well-rounded, well-oiled machine, and we're very curious about a lot of things. And we'll hit it with sports. So yesterday, for example, when we dropped the podcast, the big news regarding the New York Giants, even though they got the organized team activities, is Odell Beckham getting caught with Khloe Kardashian. And we were saying that the Kardashian curse is realer than the Madden curse. So New York Giants.
We both
got a trip getting ready to go to Colombia. We plan on catching some friendlies out there, soccer matches. There's just so many things. We had a segment called Metro Boomin, Who Lost His Trust. But there's music, entertainment, sports, fashion, travel, all that stuff intertwines, and you look at it from a holistic standpoint, and that's what you have with Justin and Nick.
And, hey, you know, I checked out the episode yesterday, was sharing it, of course, and I thought you guys, you know, did a pretty good job. I thought the conversation was natural. You know, it wasn't forced. I could tell that you guys have real dialogue. I thought the chemistry was there. So once again, folks, please check out the podcast, Justin and Nick. It's in the description below, the link to it. And let's go ahead and get into this interview, man. I was very happy to hear, you know, because Nick mentioned it, that you, my friend, you're from Westchester County. You're from the 914. You're from the Foresight, as I like to call it. And shout out to those that's been calling it the Foresight from Westchester. You already know. Me and Wills came up with that. Explain to us, you know, how it's like for you growing up in Westchester, man, because, you know, we get mixed perceptions and everything. People think we're upstate when we're not. People think it's all the suburbs and stuff.
Westchester happens to be a very unique place. I roast people all the time because I'm always in the city. I roast people. My dad is from Syracuse, and people are always saying Westchester is upstate. And I'm hearing this from people in Harlem. Like, Harlem is 15 minutes away from me. I'm adjacent to the Bronx. Like, don't tell me that Westchester is upstate. But I moved here when I was 10 from Brooklyn, and I used to live out there in Flatbush. And then I went to William H. Holmes, also went to Iona Prep. Westchester was love. I've had a lot of great memories here. To be back home is amazing. To have my family and friends at the click of a button, they can catch me on television. Unlike when I was in Tennessee, they were relying on clips and we didn't stream. Now I get viewed in New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island, Lower Hudson Valley, in addition to New York City, so it's amazing. Westchester has a lot to offer. You have New Rochelle, which is where I went to school at Iona Prep, from Money Earner Mount Vernon, which is very small, 4 square miles, but has a lot of promise to it. Mount Vernon High School, really big in basketball. I got a chance to play against a lot of stars that went on to play in college and in the NBA. Going to Iona Prep and just going to these summer camps with them. And you have Heavy D that's from here, Denzel when he claims it, Diddy to Mount Vernon as well. Yeah, Mount Vernon is love. White Plains is a nice city, up and coming. Yonkers has some things to offer, but Westchester is a nice place in itself. And I know a lot of people from the city joke around and say that Westchester's upstate, but I really don't think they actually comprehend what upstate is. Upstate is Poughkeepsie, Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's far. Like, that's out there. Like, nah, you're just a train ride away, even though it may be far. A person come from Brooklyn, I could see how they're talking about the distance, but I hate when people say upstate is Westchester. Nah.
Yeah, and I'm happy that you brought that up because it's going to lead into my next question, which is I feel like we're in such a unique position, and I guess, you know, anybody can say that based on where they live or where they come from, but I feel like we're in such a unique position considering where we live in Westchester because we have not only diversity in terms of race and religion, but also with sports and how we can get there. You know, again, when you think about especially like big parts of Westchester, you think about the White Plains or you think about the Yonkers or Mount Vernon, we're so close to New York City or we're so close to parts of Westchester that could get collegiate and pro teams that if you're somebody like us that's into sports journalism, it's very easy for us to get into it. And you're somebody that, you know, that's a sports anchor. So basically the next question is, living in Westchester and growing up here, what was your first exposure, or let's just say, when was the first idea start kicking in your head that, you know what, you was like, man, I want to do something with the sports journalism thing?
I wouldn't say it was a sporting event specifically that was in close proximity. It was more just being the kid that would always watch ESPN over and over, and I saw myself doing it. I don't mind the spotlight at all. People fear public speaking. At school, I was one of those kids that was unafraid to raise his hand to read out loud. I'm not saying I was a perfect reader. I'd make some mistakes, but I had no shame at all, because repetition, that's a keen teacher. That's the only way you're going to get better, is by constantly doing something over and over again and beating at your craft. And that's what I would do. I'd read out loud. I would watch ESPN over and over, knowing what the same result was going to be in the next show, unless breaking news occurred. And sports journalism was just always something that I connected with playing it. I played every sport you can name. I just recently learned how to play squash, and squash is actually dope. My sister plays tennis.
Yeah, it is. Damn, I gotta try it.
Yeah, squash is a cool game, but I need to get some new golf clubs. Golf is a great networking tool. Basketball will always be my first love. Ball is life. I still pick up a basketball to this day. Football, tennis, over and over. There's so many sports there were. And just like any kid, you have aspirations to play professionally, and those didn't work out. And I thought that the best mean was then putting my talk in his mouth to the paper, and that's how this came about, because everyone has a sports banter when you're younger. Who's better, Kobe or MJ? And the list goes on. And then I usually would, instead of just talk about it, I would try to put it out on a forum. So, like, you have your podcast, I have a blog, and I would share posts with people, tag them in it.
And you know what's so funny, though? For one, let me just get back to the sports part. I actually been picking up a different sport myself. It's funny that you mentioned golf, because for the past week, you know, I've been teaching myself how to play golf, you know. So salute to the Saxon Woods Golf Course in Scarsdale. Y'all been treating me so well. Salute to y'all. Free buckets and everything at the driving range, you already know. But, yeah, I've been teaching myself how to play golf. And the funny thing about just, you know, with sports and playing it or just getting a feeling for it is the fact that I know for me personally, at a very young age, I would probably say 12 years old, I knew that doing anything with sports journalism was something that was meant for me. Because I already knew at a young age, I was like, look, I love playing sports, but I wasn't giving up my February vacation to do after-school practice. I knew it. I wasn't giving up my after-school practice just to do that. But thinking about how you coming up, you know, you went to Iona Prep, and where did you go to college, by the way?
LaSalle University. It's in the city of Brotherly Love, Philly.
Nice. And all of that, being an East Coast kid from New York, how in the world you ended up in Tennessee, my brother, to do sports anchoring? How did that come about? Because that was a very interesting thing for me when I was doing my research and, of course, following you. I'm like, okay, how did you end up in Tennessee?
You got to take the leap of faith, man. I was so determined and fixed on putting my footprint in this business, getting my foot in the door, that I was going to move anywhere. I can tell you cities that I didn't even know existed when I was applying. I applied at one point to Anchorage, Alaska. I look at it now, I'm like, man, I don't know if I would have moved out there. But when I tell you I was willing to move anywhere, I was willing to move anywhere on the map, because that's how focused I was. And some people aren't comfortable stepping out of their comfort zone. You said you listened to the podcast. I mentioned that for our Words of the Wise segment on the podcast, and saying that you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And it's the weirdest thing, play off of words, but you really do. Nothing grows in your comfort zone. And you have to try to challenge yourself, push your boundaries and your limits. And I did that in 2013. It's used to, or the norm in this business of being in front of the camera. You start off in a smaller market, be a big fish in a small pond, and you work your way up the ladder. And that's what I did. I never would have, my decision in 2013 would have paid off 2.5 years and would have landed me in the number one media market back home, out of all places, for everyone to be able to see me, and I can actually relax It's just different. It's nothing for me to get adjusted to here because I'm a New Yorker. So that's love in itself. But that decision in 2016, I wouldn't be talking to you on this podcast if I didn't make it in 2013. The dots will always connect. And I was that focused. I had a great opportunity out there. And New York isn't going anywhere. If someone is living in Tennessee, Tennessee isn't going anywhere. Someone living in any part of the tri-state or whatever, it's not going anywhere. Step outside of your comfort zone. Live somewhere. People, I come back home, you find them doing the same things with the same people, which not necessarily saying they're not going anywhere, but some people are stagnant. Some people are just doing the same functions. I had a time. I had a blast out there. Some struggles, but it's fine. I can look back and say, like, oh, I remember those times and people were just genuinely curious, like, wow, you had that under your foot. And now I have to say that I lived out there.
And once again, to continue to, you know, to look at Tennessee, man, like, what was, and, I mean, of course, if it's the obvious things and it's the obvious, it is what it is, but what were some things that, like, really stood out to you during your time there? Because when people would think about Tennessee, you would think about Nashville, you'll think about country music, you'll think about football, you know, you think about the University of Tennessee, you'll basically think of, like, the basic stuff, and, of course, Memphis, but, like, besides that, what were some other things that you happened to discover during your time there that made it was like, okay, wow, like, all right, so there is more to this place?
Yeah, it's different down there, especially the first thing sports-wise. I knew SEC football was big. But, wow, it really is huge down there. It's a religion, and Butch Jones is a godfather to so many families out there, or Nick Saban is a godfather to so many families out there in Alabama. People love college football. It is just as – I'll put it in this perspective. Went to the Tennessee Titans game. I went to many Tennessee Titans games, and I covered them. And we all know they're a struggling franchise on the upcoming. I have a friend that's on the team, and I was able to cover for Yoda. They have a new GM. So they're now trying to hopefully build back some juice and step up. I went to their stadium, was like, oh, okay, cool. You don't really hear, like, too much crowd noise. I went to the Volunteer Stadium when they played Missouri on ESPN. That place was rocking. Rocky Top was no joke. So that really threw me off guard, like, man, like, this is live. To actually, like, see it on TV and to see these big games, Ole Miss playing somebody. I went to the Grove, which is a popular spot on Ole Miss campus. And, man, like, they are really rocking. These college lifestyles, I see why so many people are fixed on coming back to these college games over and over. And tailgating out there is just completely different, beyond imaginable at any sporting event. So that was what really sunk in with me. Socially, it's different with expectations. There are different things that people do for fun out there. They still have fun. But it's just from a different standpoint that I appreciated things that they do, whether it be a tractor pull, which are tractors pulling objects. They, of course, go out to concerts. You got the Country Music Festival. Nashville is big into music. Memphis is a nice city. They have a street called Beale Street, which is replica to Bourbon Street, but on a much smaller scale, and Bourbon Street, which is a famous street in New Orleans. But, yeah, it was cool down there, and I had a lot of different experiences. That's the best way to put it. Some that I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? And others like, okay, I'll try this. I went out to a bull riding event. That was dope. I would actually go out to another bull riding event. Something pops up here of East, and I'd be like, oh, I'll get some tickets to that. But that's the thing. You have to be open-minded. And I've always been an open-minded individual. Obviously, you can't be open-minded if you move out the boonies and you don't know anybody.
Tank, I can't blame you for saying that. And you know what? And I like the fact that you brought up again about being open-minded, because if there's anything open, it's, you know, the world that we're in today with so much content is being put out and so many people doing things, especially in the sports world, right? With sports journalism, you have so many people doing different things and creating different content. And even, you know, with what you do as an anchor, there's a lot of competition. Again, people want to get up to the bigger markets. People want the bigger jobs. And again, just going back to being open-minded and having the willingness, when you see yourself in the position you're in right now, compared to where you were before and what you hope to be in the future, you know, what do you see for yourself as the lane that you want to go down and how you can see yourself continue to be more refined and continue to get better and better?
That's a really good question, and people always look at me crazy when I tell them that I don't think I've achieved that much. I've only been doing this for 3 years now. I graduated in 2012 and did about a year's work behind the scenes with the Olympics and Comcast Sportsnet. If I'm only 3 years into my profession, there's no way that I want to get a big head and think like, oh, wow, like I'm really out here. I really try to stay grounded. You have those moments where you reflect like, wow, I'm very fortunate, yes. I'm blessed in what I've been able to do and how I have a great support system. Being back in New York is nothing that I'm taking for granted, but I have to constantly keep pushing myself. I tell my friends all the time that if my hater or anyone is upset about these accomplishments that I'm getting, they should be scared or terrified what's going to happen. My vision is beyond imaginable. There's so many things you can do in this business. We just started a podcast with my friend. I want to be an ambassador for watches. I want to do motivational speaking. But, of course, sports journalism is going to be the nucleus. I want to be a sports anchor. But I can touch so many people in different avenues. Being in front of the camera, I may never know a kid that is sitting down with his family with dinner, and he may see me just like someone that looks like him in front of the camera, young maybe, or even someone that's in high school that did his high school highlight. I want to do that. Or like, man, this kid is like nice. Like, I know he's not that young, and he's out here like, wow. There's just so many different opportunities, and I just have a vision that I don't even share at times with people, not because I'm scared to share it or that I don't want to. It's just that there's so many things that pop up. It's not a pipe dream. It's things that I know that I'm going to accomplish and I can. And I write my goals down. I'm really big into having tangible evidence, and I read them to myself over and over, and I'll have a screenshot of them. I'll have 10 daily goals, and then I'll have stuff I want to accomplish before I'm 30. There's just so many things, dude. So many things, and you have to constantly keep getting better because someone is always working just as hard, if not harder than you. I think Mark Cuban has a quote that you have to work 24 hours a day like someone's trying to take it all away from you. Yes, you have those days that are off, but you got to keep that mindset. As quick or as long as it took you to get it, you can lose it in an instant. People don't remember you for your Emmys, your memorable sports cast. You could have touched this whole community. Like, literally, you walk in this community, you'd be a deity. You make one mistake, one mess up on air or something that goes viral, it's a wrap. And you're only as good as your last product. I'm only as good as what I did last night. People don't care that I jumped to the number one media market, that I worked in Tennessee, that I did behind-the-scenes work, that I'm a Christian person, that I give back to the community, that I talk to my church. People don't care about that. People sometimes base you off of what you just last did. Your first impression, you're always making a first impression with someone. I'm on your podcast now. Someone could have listened to myself and Nick's podcast and said like, oh, okay, I know Justin in this life, but I've never heard him talk about these things before. You have to constantly try to impress people. It's like being with a new girl. Like, you have to constantly try to show out, like, or you're trying to get a girl, I'll say. She's not even a girl. You're trying to constantly go after her, showing her all these tools in a bag to say, like, okay, I think I can settle down with this guy. Like, you're going after her. It's a game, and this game is never going to end with me.
And the one thing I wanted to touch on once again, because you brought it up, is, you know, and all of us, you know, when we do something, you know, let's say like sports or anything that involves creating content and we want to branch out and do different things, for some it could be crystal clear, for some it could be very unclear, and when we figure it out, it either be an easy transition or a hard transition. For you personally, so far, the things that you've always wanted to do outside of the main goal that you've had, has it been easy for you to do? Not just in terms of timing, but just in terms of like you just going, you know what, I think I want to do this, I think I want to do that, all right, I'm going to go do it. Was it easy or hard?
It was definitely difficult because saying something and trying to bring it to fruition, you don't see the full circle of time. There's going to be stuff that breaks up that circle. And then you have to make sure that you put the pieces back together. I said that I wanted to work out in Tennessee and get my foot in the door anywhere, but I had to take a pay sacrifice. People didn't know what I was making out in Tennessee. It wasn't like much, but that's what you start out with. But I was passionate. All people saw was that I was passionate. I was touching a community. I was having fun. And I was telling stories that they wanted to be told. Then I was doing my best to take advantage of an opportunity that a lot of people would die for. So there's a lot of things that I want to accomplish and that I did accomplish that I didn't see the immediate obstacles. It's like that clear road. Until you go down it, you really don't know what speed bumps or traps or hazards are going to be on it. So everything looks or seems fine, but it takes a long time to actually get everything clicking on all cylinders, depending on what the goal or wish or anything that you have set out.
Hey, before I let you go, Justin, and this has been, you know, a very good interview. I hope that you've been enjoying it so far. I know the listeners definitely will. Basically, when you see yourself within the next 5 to 10 years, and you're somebody that, you know, you believe in writing down your goals, and you basically, to me, I think I'm in the same boat as you in terms of you like speaking things into existence. You know, I like that because I do the same thing, and of course, having faith and believing that things will happen. Where do you see yourself, man, within the next, you know, 5 to 10 years? Like, what goals you have in mind?
For the next 5 years, I would like to work in a network. Turner Sports would be nice. ESPN, Fox. Definitely have a few awards under my belt, whether it be there's just a few awards out there that I have written down. I think Emmy is probably the first one that I'd like to check off. Maybe some features in some magazines to help me, I guess, create other avenues of revenue. And more just making sure that my brand is where I have it aligned so that I'm out there and people understand that Justin Walters is someone that's going to be here for a long time. And despite his age, he doesn't see any obstacles that can stop him from getting to that point B if he's starting at point A. So there's a lot of things there. It's not a specific destination just because something can change tomorrow, and who knows what that could be. Something could change later today, but 5 years from now is some time. I don't want to say 10 years. I just like to take it at least year by year, and I'll have those goals set out, but a lot can change from now. But by then, definitely working at a network and making sure I'm on a national show.
Justin, thank you so much, man, for coming on the show. I hope you enjoyed the interview, man. This is a long time coming. You know, very happy for your success, man. We definitely need to meet up soon. And, folks, please follow Justin on Twitter at JustinWaltersTV. It's in the title above. If you happen to be living in New York City or nearby and you have Verizon Files, make sure you check out my guy, Do His Thing, as a sports anchor for Verizon Files. Thank you so much, Justin. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man. Much appreciated. Keep doing your thing.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the latest interview for AST Presents Justin Walters. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a nice conversation on his career, his upbringing, having to be comfortable while being uncomfortable. If that is not a statement that is not true, then I don't know what is true, because that is such a true statement and it is so right. At some point, guys, we all have to take risks. We all have to be uncomfortable. But if we could be comfortable while doing the uncomfortable, understanding that taking risk is a part of the process, then trust me, we will be fine. And it relates to something that I always say, folks, regardless of what's surrounding you, people, your environment, whatever, you have to have faith and believe in the process. If you have faith, if you believe in the process, trust me, it's very easy to believe in yourself and things will get done. That is the latest episode of AST Presents featuring Justin Walters. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.